Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
What I'm going to be talking about is the parable of the sower. And part of that is looking at how much grain you get out of a seed that you plant. And I figure that most of us here aren't farmers and don't really deal with how much grain do I get when I go out and sow my field. So I thought I'd try and bring this home a little bit, something we can relate to. So let's imagine that one grain of corn produces one piece of cornflake. That's not the exact ratio, but bear with me here. So it turns out that there are about 250 cornflakes in one standard 30 gram portion. I know this because I counted. You're welcome. So if we imagine that one seed produces a corn that produces 50 more, we need about 5 plants for one serving of cornflakes. Wow. So that means you need about 100 plants to grow and produce 50 seeds per seed planted to have enough to eat for a week. If you've got family, say you're the man and you're the farmer, and then you've got a wife and two kids back home, you need 400 plants a week just to keep you and your family fed 3 meals of 30 grams of cornflakes a day for the year to get to the next harvest season. And I'm doing this because I want you to start trying to get your head around what the people listening to this parable would be thinking about when they hear this parable. Because most of the people listening to Jesus would have been farmers or fishermen or shepherds. The work that they did directly produced the food that they ate, and they wouldn't be able to get away from knowing that. So when they hear a parable about a farmer, all of their heads are going to be going, well, I know about farming. What has what you've got to say got to do with me? I already know all of this. So let me just read you from Matthew 13:3. And Jesus said to them, a farmer went out to sow his field. And as he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And that's a bit of a weird story. Very fortunately for us, Jesus actually goes on and explains it in about 15 verses, and I will get to that. But I've just said that the people listening at the time would have their own cultural baggage when they listen to this. So I want to go through it again, but this time with some heckling from the crowd about what they might have been thinking as they heard this. So let's go back to the beginning. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the bird came and ate it up.
No!
Feeding the birds? Come on, mate, what are you up to feeding the birds? What, you've just got grain to waste, have you? Oh, come on, leave him alone. Everyone wastes a bit of seed. Not me. Never wasted a grain in my life. Oh, really? Shut up. I want to hear the next bit. Some fell on rocky places, where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. What sort of amateur is this guy? Doesn't even know you have to prepare the field first. You can't just throw seed out and expect it. You have to get the rocks out, mate. Come on. This isn't difficult. What did your parents teach you? Some people. Shh, I can't hear. Look, I get it. You're annoyed. The guy's clearly an idiot. But I want to hear where this is going. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Oh, man. What's this guy doing? You can't just leave the plants. You have to look after them. This isn't difficult. Okay. This story's not going. Okay, we've got a story about an idiot. Great. What am I meant to learn? I'm not an idiot. I look after my plants. I don't let the weeds eat them. What's this Jesus guy on about? Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Well, obviously, if you throw seeds everywhere, some of it's going to grow. There's going to be some ground that it will land on and not get wrecked. But who's got the time? Who doesn't have the time to go out and actually make sure the field's ready first? What's the point of this story? Wait, was that the end of the story? Was that the end of the story? Whoever has his, listen to what? Listen to some nutter who apparently has land and money to waste just throwing seeds around and hoping enough of it grows. What's going on? Because the people who were listening to Jesus at the time, they would all have in their heads what you do when you go out to plant a field. They would be listening this and going, the guy's doing everything wrong. Everything. What is the point of this? I'll tell you what the point of it is. Because Jesus is nice enough to tell us what the point of it is. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who quickly hears the word. Why did I say quickly? Oh, it's in the line above. Never mind. Someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Oh. So it's a parable about the message of the kingdom. Great. Got it. Can all go. It's about the message of the kingdom, guys. You're looking at me like you'd want to know what the message of the kingdom might be. Okay. Message of the kingdom. Paper, behave. Okay. What is the message of the kingdom? There's not really anywhere in the Bible that just goes, and the message of the kingdom is... Because it's a fairly big and complicated thing. If you ask someone, they might summarize it down to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. Someone might tell you that that is the message of the kingdom. Someone else might tell you that it's what Jesus shared when he was in the synagogue in Galilee in Luke 4. Freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and the proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. Maybe that's what the message of the kingdom is. These great blessings of God. Some might tell you that the message of the kingdom is the Bible. All of it. All 31,102 verses. That is the message of the kingdom. I think that's getting closer. I think the Bible is most of the message of the kingdom. But I think the message of the kingdom goes beyond even that. I think the message of the kingdom is every verse in the Bible is given by God and is part of his message. But so is every prophecy, every testimony, every worship song that awakens something in our spirit. The message of the kingdom is anything that lets us understand God more or become more Christ-like. John 3:16 is a great verse and a powerful and critical part of the message of the kingdom. But it is not the entirety of it. Freedom for prisoners and freedom from oppression and healing is a powerful and core part of the sharing the message of the kingdom. But that isn't all of it. The message of the kingdom is everything that God has to share with us. And it goes far beyond words in a book. We don't receive the message once and then we're done. We get the message and then we get the next bit of the message. The Bible is so huge and there's so much in there that's good for us. And every time we read it, we get more of God's message for us. Okay. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to just breaking down the bits of this parable. So we've got the plants that produce a great product, lots of fruitful plants coming out of them, much grain is produced. And the plants that grow well are the ones on good soil. They're the ones that have been watered and tended for, shielded from pests, protected from weeds, where the ground was prepared well before for the seeds that would be planted on it. So what does that mean for us? What does receiving the message of the kingdom fruitfully look like in us? It means that we need to be prepared. We can't just expect to hear the message and go, ah, and now I am fruitful. There's a lot of work that has to go in to take in the seed of the message and turning it into something productive. There's a lot of teaching on this, and a lot of people like to go, oh, well, I'm one of the fruitful ones, obviously. I mean, I'm not like one of those not believers. But fruitful, and I've really struggled with trying to work out what fruitfulness actually looks like. Is this me being fruitful, sharing the message? I hope so. It's the stuff I've done when I've done kids' work. Is that? But what if I'm sharing the message on the street? Is that? But what if no one? What if I share on the street and no one responds? Have I been fruitful if nothing grows where I sow? What about if I'm not actually sowing, but what I do enables someone else? What if what we do to enable Annette to go and share the message abroad, is that being fruitful, or is that just letting Annette be fruitful while we don't? What does fruitfulness look like? And it was only while I was working on this sermon that I realised something that I've still not fully processed, but is really changing my perspective on this, which is a really simple thing. God isn't results oriented. God doesn't really care about what happens to the messages that we give out. God cares that we're trying to give out the message. If we go out into the street and tell 10 people about Jesus and not a single one of them ever comes to him, that's on God. Because all we've been told to do is share the message. And as long as we're sharing the message, it doesn't matter if what land that seed falls on. The farmer in this story is sowing the message, and he's sowing it everywhere. And it doesn't matter if it lands on foul ground or fallow land or fine land. What matters is that he's spreading it. In Matthew 28, Jesus gives us the Great Commission, which I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given. All the nations, all Jesus wants us to do is take the message everywhere. And for some people, Annette particularly, all the nations does mean go to all the nations. For some of us, all the nations means that person two doors down that we've never speak to and we're pretty sure has never heard of Jesus before. All the nations is the command for the church as a whole, not us as individuals. As individuals, all we have to do is our part to making sure it reaches all the nations. If you know that someone round the corner or who you walk past and when you're walking your dog doesn't know Jesus, there's your target. That's where you've got to sow the seed. You sow the seed wherever the seed hasn't yet been sown. And I'll tell you why I feel sure that God doesn't mind where we sow and whether or not there's results, because there's two passages I want to read, one from Isaiah 55 and one from Corinthians, about what is done by man and what is done by God. So Isaiah 55 verse 10, the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. That's God saying, I claim the products of my word. And then 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. I planted the seed in your hearts, this is Paul writing, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For some, we are called to give the message and plant that seed in someone. God will bring other people in to water and care for that seed and bring growth in it. If you plant a seed in someone and then never see them again, all you can do is trust that God knows that that seed is there and God will bring it to growth. I'm going to talk about the hardened bird-pecked ground. It's so common now. The message of the kingdom is a completely unacceptable truth now. It is unacceptable to tell the world that you can have freedom not by doing anything, but just by believing and through faith. It's unacceptable to tell the world that you don't have to worry and you don't have to stress and you don't have to plan, because all you need can be provided without you having to strive for it. It's unacceptable to the world to say that a man that died and rose again three days later, 2,000 years ago, is relevant and important and critical today. The world cannot handle that, and so the ground is dry and hard and the seeds won't land. But God understands that. God knows that most of the places that we can put his message are places that the message will just disappear. But all we have to do is trust God that where we put the message, he will work. God sends the rains that prepares and waters the ground. All we have to do is throw the seeds out and let God bring life there. Okay, so the last two bits are, you've got the rocky ground where the roots don't work, and you've got the thorny ground where things are choked by worries. And I'm going to cover these both together, because this, I think, is where most of the church is at. We come to church on a Sunday and we hear a message and we're like, yes, it's so good, oh God, you're so good. And then by Wednesday we're like, yeah, church was pretty good. I can't remember the key point, but yeah, church was definitely good, yeah. And then we get to next Sunday and it's like, oh right, church, it's going to be really good. But I can't remember what we did last week at all, but yeah, church will be really good. We grow and we're joyful, and then it just disappears from us. Less than 2 months ago, Mary gave an amazing sermon. Can anyone tell me what the sermon was about?
Joy.
Joy, okay. Since you volunteered, were you inspired by Mary's sermon?
Absolutely.
How well have you been keeping joy at the centre of your life in the last...
Trying.
Like, we are not well-prepared ground yet. We are ground that has rocks and has weeds, and God has so much work to do in us still before we can take the message and turn it into something fruitful. We might grow a little bit. God's done some work. We're not completely barren. We can produce a bit of fruit, but God has so much more planned for us that we're not letting him achieve, because we're not letting God get in and dig out the rocks that are stopping us. We're not letting God come in and scrape away the weeds of the worries, the doubts, the fears, the need to know where the next paycheck's coming from. All of these get in the way of us keeping God's joy, God's hope, God's message in us constantly. If we were fully fruitful, we would be going through every day with a smile on our face and Jesus on our lips every minute, because we wouldn't have anything else to concern ourselves with. The farmer in this story seems insane. He's just throwing seed everywhere like he's got it to waste. And that's what the kingdom is. The message of the kingdom won't run out. You don't have to storage it and carefully allot it and go, okay, this is I'm growing my wheat for the year, right? This much I need to feed me and my family. This much I need to plant for next year. This much I need to pay the tax collector. This is what I have left over to trade with. We don't have to do that with the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom won't run out. It doesn't need to be stockpiled. We won't, if we give out the message, we're not going to suddenly run out of message. But every sermon that we've forgotten is a bit of the message that's been plucked from us by birds or strangled by thorns in our lives. And that's not how I want to live. I want to be fruitful. I want to be productive for God. The message of the kingdom is for everyone. The message of the kingdom isn't meant to be, this is rare and precious and I need to hoard it. I need to protect it from thieves. I need to conceal it. I need to keep it for myself because it's so good. And there's so little. There's not little. And it's so good that it should be shared. The kingdom of the message is an infinite resource. You can't run out of it. So share it everywhere. It doesn't matter if it fails. You can sow the seed of the kingdom 1,000 times and never see any growth, and it doesn't matter because you're not going to run out of kingdom message. And maybe the 1,001st one you plant will have a little sprout. And that might get eaten by weeds, but there's ground there that can be worked on. And that's where God works. God works in the ground that looks barren. I asked at the beginning, how many cornflakes will you get through in a year? Because I wanted you to be thinking about what this looks, the parable looks like from the perspective of someone who counts grains for a living. But this parable tells us that we don't have to live like that. We don't have to count resources because Jesus has promised that he will provide for all of our needs. We can take what we've got home and we can give all of it away because everything we need comes from God and his promises can be relied on. So when God promises that he will provide for all of our needs, we can trust that he means that. So we don't have to fear about where our next meal is coming from or what the next harvest will look like. The message of the kingdom is the core of it is so simple and the depth of it is so vast because the full message of the kingdom is everything that is God. And the simple part of it is just the message of the kingdom is Jesus. If all you can do is share Jesus, that's what being fruitful looks like. And it doesn't matter if those who try to share Jesus with reject it, because it's for God to bring growth. Right. Let me pray. God, help us to open ourselves up to you. Help us to let you into our lives, to prepare us, to work us so that we can meet our full potential, bring forth our full growth. God, I don't want to be joyful today and then forgotten it by next week. I want to hold your message. I want it to grow slowly and fully. God, I don't want to be filled with worries and doubts. I want my life free. God, bring us that, we pray.
Thank you.
Bring us your freedom. Bring us your growth. Bring us your the freedom to just share you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Give us freedom from the worry of results so that we can joyfully give and trust in you. Amen.
Thank you.